You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and we are talking to Randy Ratke, North Central Wisconsin Labor Council President. When you look down over the last, well, now 40 years, let's roughly say, when you look at some of the laws that were passed, whether it was child labor laws, whether it was clean food laws, whether it was 8-hour workday, whether it was paid vacation. Yep. I mean, there are so many different things, because life is more than working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. In order to have a family, to have some sort of balance in life, back in that era that Donald Trump says was such a wonderful era, when you had what you call the Robert Barons, the Gilded Age, when you had incredible wealth in a small group of hands. Isn't it feel like history repeating itself?
It does feel like that, yep.
How is the health of labor here in central Wisconsin and here in the country in your mind?
Well, I think unions have, I believe it's more positive since I've been started getting involved with the labor movement way back in 92. People are more wanting to join unions. So I think that's as far as, but you know, I kind of say, you know, there's a few things that make the union strong. First of all, it's your membership. Mm-hmm. Workers wanting to get involved. It's an organization. It needs money, the dues. But then also another thing is, too, is how much will the government let us? I mean, and that's what we're always constantly fighting. The corporations have a lot of money.
Let me ask you, because you hit it on the head, that government and policy has such a major factor when it comes to the ability of organizers, of union leaderships, to be able to even form unions. And of course, during the Walker administration, we saw a very hard push to...
Look what he's done with AFSCME, you know. I remember going to a lot of conferences, AFSCME, the state workers, with Act 10, taking a lot of their collective bargaining rights away, and having them recertify every year.
Right.
And then, of course, you had the right to work that came around.
Idea of right to work for less, right?
Yep. And, I think that needs to be explained, because some people...
You say right to work. What's wrong with that?
Right to work.
Let me ask you, what is the issue that...
Basically, we gotta represent the freeloaders, the ones that don't want to pay. That's the main thing, and they do that intentionally to try to destroy unions, take the money away from them. So if you're in a union shop, you don't have to pay union dues, but we have to represent you,
and you get the benefits,
and get the benefits of the contract. And if you get fired, we're supposed to represent you. Yep. Otherwise, we can get in trouble. The unions can get in trouble, and that's not right.
Again, we're talking to Randy Ratke, president of the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council, as we get set for the WASA Labor Day Parade coming up on Monday. Yep, it starts at 4 p.m. The lineup starts at 3 p.m. at Marathon Park. And again, very happy that myself being part of this great event on Labor Day Monday. Looking forward to announcing it yet again. Something I'm going to kind of circle back a little bit, what you were talking about a little bit earlier in terms of, I think, the viewpoint of labor in the United States. I have sensed, and I've seen some actual stories and numbers that say that there is a much more positive look at labor and labor unions in this country, not just by the labor members themselves, but by people outside of the labor unions, understanding the good that comes from unions and labor representation. And that's been a hard battle. I think it goes back to maybe the start of the conservative revolution in the late 1970s, 80s, especially with Reagan, where you think back, and again, I love history. I love the idea of how history does really give you a roadmap to where we've been and to where we're going. And you think back to the very early days of the Reagan administration and the air traffic controllers where he made a line in the sand, basically, that labor unions are hurting America. And a lot of people started to believe that for, I think, a long time in the 80s and the 90s. But there has been a turnaround.
Yeah, I think I kind of got involved with the labor movement in 1992. I was lucky enough to see Cesar Chavez before he got passed away, talked a little bit about his organizing days. But then you go on to talk about the what's changed. And I think we had a big wake up with Walker. Sometimes things, I think, have to get bad before they can get better. Mm-hmm. I think it was a wake up call, and I think it was an education. I think it educated people about collective bargaining. I think people really didn't know what collective bargaining was. We kind of, and maybe that some of that's on labor too, because we take things for granted. We become, like one of the teachers said at that time, we become complicit. Because if you remember, a lot of the teachers supported Walker at the time. And I think that after that, though, for some odd reason, I think after that event in Wisconsin, I believe that's changed it. I think it was a wake-up call, and it started educating more people about the labor movement and collective bargaining.
It's one thing to stop the slide. And yeah, I think that's, you know, there was the slide during that era where so many laws were changed to hurt labor and hurt unions. It's another thing then to claw back and then build on. And unfortunately, with still a conservative assembly and a conservative state senate, it's hard, even with a Democratic governor, for folks that were heading to the fall of 2025, and then will be 2026, which of course will be another election year. And there's a lot of discussion that perhaps in the right circumstances that Democrats could gain control of at least one of the bodies, if not both of the bodies, with of course a governor's race coming up as well. As we go into 2026, in your position with the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council and your position as a worker, what do you want to hear from candidates in 2026, not just to maybe stop the slide, but actually start building on some ideas or positive pieces of legislation for the union and for the workers of Wisconsin?
Well, I'd like to hear a little bit more about what they're going to do with overturning Act 10. And I mean, Michigan did it. They got rid of right to work. I like, those are two main issues. And another thing that, of course, always affects the workers too is our health care. And but yeah, definitely the Act 10, though, and the right to work issues are very, very important. And like I said,
and again, join me, Randy Ratke, and the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council for the Wausau Labor Day Parade coming up on Monday, Labor Day, September the 1st. Lineup begins at Marathon Park at 3 p.m. The parade itself starts at 4 and wraps up at the Wausau Labor Temple. We talked a whole bunch more with Randy Ratke, and you can check out our show notes to get the complete interview on YouTube. Coming up, more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also on YouTube, youtube.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO channel. You can see us live right now, and you can also see the entirety of the interview that I had yesterday morning that I recorded after the show for air this morning with Randy Ratke of the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council. We had a lot more that we talked about other than what we had on the air for the first two segments this morning. So you can, again, go to youtube.com, the 98.9 WXCO channel to get that and all the other local segments here on the WXCO Morning Report. Well, yesterday there was a hearing. The WASA Ethics Board met again concerning some issues with the Mayor Doug Dinney investigation of the Dropbox removal. The Ethics Board denied the mayor's attorney's request to dismiss the ethics complaint against him, is moving forward with the investigation, but they did remove one of the three federal statutes cited in the complaint, but kept two others. It dropped one of the codes, which was interference by administrative employees of federal, state, or territorial governments. Remaining are alleged violations of the deprivation of rights under color of law and failure or refusal to permit casting or tabulation of votes. Members of the board refused comment on why that specific statute was removed, according to WASA Pilot and Review. And another aspect and that is concerning to me is that next week, the Ethics Board is scheduled to hold a hearing on this case. However, at this point, it looks as though, and I would say at this point, it looks more likely than not that that date could change because the city clerk of WASA, Caitlin Bernardi, and city attorney Ann Jacobson have not yet provided depositions requested by the mayor's legal team. An attorney representing the mayor said the mayor must be informed of the statutes he allegedly violated, which formed the basis for the complaint. He noted that although the board ordered testimony from Bernardi and Jacobson, it has not happened, and the board has ordered that all pre-hearing matters, including discovery, be completed by this Friday, August the 29th. The mayor's attorney said the two employees' attorney told him that they are unavailable and that the city budget for the representation had been exhausted. So at this point, the mayor's attorneys say that if Bernardi and Jacobson do not appear for their scheduled depositions on Friday, he will seek to adjourn the hearing scheduled for next week. I have to admit here that I agree with the mayor's attorneys in this part of the case, that if these two WASA city officials have been asked to give depositions in this case and are refusing for whatever reason, that the mayor's attorneys have reason to ask for a delay in the hearing scheduled for next week. And I've said before, whether it's these members of WASA city government, whether it's the police chief of WASA, whether it's anybody that may have pertinent information when it comes to this case, we need to hear what that information is. I think that as a public servant, there is a responsibility not to be looking for loopholes on holding back information that is relevant to this case.
You're right.
And so I think in this case, I agree with the mayor's attorneys that this is something that needs to be taken care of, that these members of the WASA city government need to be giving their depositions in order to get all the information out there. And it just frustrates me again, though, that it appears that as we get closer and closer to the one-year anniversary of this case beginning, that we're probably going to get another change in the date of the next hearing, and that basically we are continuing on this road. And of course there's the other road, which is the Department of Justice investigation on potential criminal acts involving this. And I will add that the two members of the WASA city government, Jacobson and Bernardi, have said that they have also been told that because that they are potential witnesses within this investigation from the Department of Justice, that they should not testify in this ethics hearing as well. I do not know the intricacies of the legal system. I do not know the intricacies of whether or not it would be appropriate or inappropriate for those two city employees to give depositions to the WASA Ethics Board. But I do think that if you have pertinent information and it's not coming forward, that does allow an opening for the mayor's attorneys to say, hey, we should not be having this hearing next week. So, and I would frankly agree with that. So
it does make sense.
I guess that if these two city employees have to wait until the Department of Justice tells them it's okay to give these depositions, then I guess we're going to have to wait. Though it is frustrating that to see a case that appears to be, again, rather straightforward continue to drag on, and we get past the one-year anniversary very, very soon.
Like you said, it turned into the never-ending saga.
It is, truly, and it seems to be it's going to continue for sure into the month of September and even further than that. So that's
pretty soon we'll come up on the one-year anniversary.
Yes, we will. So that is the latest information after the Ethics Board held a meeting last night here in WASA. Well, coming up, top of the hour, information update, news, weather, and sports. Then after that, Brittany Merlot will join Pat Kreitlow to talk about the weather. Another beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin weather-wise.
Very beautiful.
Also, during that first segment with Pat Kreitlow, I will be joining Pat. Maybe we'll talk about the mayor's continuing saga. Maybe he has something else on his mind. We'll find out. So I'll be joining Pat Kreitlow around 8:10. And then me and Ian will be back with our next segment for the WXCO Morning Report coming up at 8:22. And we'll wrap things up in that segment with our number for the day quiz. So that's all coming up as we continue on this Tuesday morning. It is 7:59 with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXCO. Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 8:23. We are live from our downtown Wausau studios of 98.9 WXCO at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. It is a beautiful start. I mean, it is just gorgeous out there.
Oh, yeah.
Almost exactly the same as yesterday. I think basically the temperature, I think, is exactly the same as it was 24 hours ago. It's still sunny. It's really just a perfect, I think, day. I love temperatures in the upper 60s, around 70. That's what we will get. Right now, it's 51 degrees here in downtown Wausau, and it looks like we are heading towards a terrific Labor Day weekend. In fact, heard Brittany Merlot in the last segment talking about Labor Day weekend looking perfect. We're going to get a lot of sunshine, very moderate temperatures right through Labor Day Monday. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to join me and join Randy Ratke. And I know that Ian Welsh will be marching in it as well, the Wausau Labor Day Parade. And again, the Wausau Labor Day Parade has a new route starting at Marathon Park going to the Wausau Labor Temple. And you can make sure to check out the information on that so you get the right spot to watch the parade on Monday. That begins at 4 p.m. The lineup starts at 3. Again, this year I'll be the announcer. And I know, Ian, you're going to be marching in it. Well, who are you marching with?
I will be marching with the Center Stage Band and Show Choir of Wausau, promoting our upcoming show that we'll be having towards the end of September. It's going to be an absolutely free show happening at the Grand Theater. And this year's theme is hits from across the Atlantic.
All right. Very good. So, like, British invasion kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. So, well, that's something definitely to look forward to. But even before that, Monday afternoon, again, the Wausau Labor Day Parade with the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council. And again, if you missed our discussion with Randy Ratke earlier today and you missed what we heard on the air, plus even more information by going to youtube.com, 98.9 WXCO channel, find our recorded interview, and you can be able to watch it and see it and learn even more about what's going on in labor. And also, we talked about some of the issues going on at the Marathon County Board level, where he is also a member of that body. So again, our full discussion, unedited discussion with Randy Ratke at youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel. Also coming up tomorrow here on the program, we are going to be talking to Christine Martins. And I think Christine will be bringing in somebody else as well, but she is from Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks. And it is the second year that Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks are doing a motor coach tour throughout Marathon County. And actually, even outside the county. Actually, no, it's all within Marathon County. Ringle, Hatley, Elderon, Bevent, Mosinee. It is called the Tour de Marathon County. sort of like the Tour de France. The Tour de Marathon County.
Nice.
Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks will be working with local historians and residents in several of the communities throughout North Central Wisconsin, Marathon County, and really interesting stuff. So we will have Christine Martins and perhaps others from Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks joining us tomorrow morning to talk about the Tour de Marathon County, starting at 6:52 a.m. during the WXCO morning report here on 98.9 WXCO. And also talk about a little bit about the legacy of Gary Gisselman with that organization, yeah. The longtime Central Wisconsin leader in so many different areas. And part of his leadership was with the Friends of Wausau Historic Landmarks. So we'll talk about Gary Gisselman as well as part of our discussion tomorrow morning here on the program. And don't forget as well, if you miss any of our WXCO Morning Report segments, we do put them out as a podcast each and every day. We put them together as one 30-minute podcast with all the segments put together. And you can subscribe to be to it on Spotify and Google, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And also you can get it as on our podcast page at WXCO.FM. If you go to shows, that will connect you to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where all of the Civic Media programming is available as a podcast as well.
Yes,
so just search WXCO News, WXCO News. All right, time for our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
You're 0 for 1 this week. Your number for the day quiz topic is
okay. The
oldest person in the world.
Oldest person in the world. Okay.
The oldest person alive right now is Ethel Caterham, a British woman born on August the 21st of 1909. She is 116 years and 5 days old. She just had her birthday. But the number for the day is, how many days old is the oldest person in the world?
How many days old is this person? How many days?
All right.
Okay.
So your choices are 32,373, 42,373, 52,373 days old. And actually, the reason I brought this up is because I'm coming up on a big number for my days old, and I'm going to talk about that next week. I was looking over the weekend at some kind of interesting figures about when I was born. And it gave me the number of days I'm old, and it's like a milestone number is coming next week, which we'll talk about. But 32,373, 42,373, 52,373 days old.
Now, I'm going to say 42,000. I'm going to go with the middle number of my final answer.
All right.
A little over 42,000.
The oldest person alive is 42,373 days old.
Nice. I'm 1 for 1 right now.
That's a lot of days. A lot of days.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday to her.
Well, have a good rest of this beautiful Tuesday.
You too, Jed.
And we will be back tomorrow morning starting at 6:52 for our local segment here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That works for me.
Very good.
There we go.
Microphone? Oh, hang on here. I got to turn off my sound or else we get back here.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.